and I'm being in the stillness, and I'm being in the quiet, right? It's myself is here, but I'm just sitting in the quiet with my true self, with the divine in this open, quiet way. And then here comes a part that tells me a great, amazing idea, and then I use my word. It's like I say that word, my body relaxes, I feel more open, I feel like I am here, I am more present by just using that word.
Hello, Tammy.
Hello, Natalie.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
I'm so excited that you're back here on the podcast. I was just kind of thinking before we connected just now that I can't believe it's almost been a year for me since I've started this podcast. And you have been someone that has been a great mentor for me, helped me a lot leading up to the official start of this podcast, and just really grateful that I have you, we have each other, and that I'm able to sit here with you and connect regarding IFS and all of these amazing things that you do.
Oh, thanks, Natalie. Well, I feel the same way. And I love that as an Enneagram 3, I am someone who is very busy and focused on image and success and all this stuff. But I also absolutely love helping other people be successful. And so I love just seeing what you're doing and just being a teeny tiny part of the amazing stuff you're doing in the world. Love it.
Well, I really appreciate that. And like I've been saying, you have been very important for me. And I know we talked about this in our first conversation on the podcast in 2023, where I started listening to your podcast during the pandemic and just started like binge listening. And then to be able to start working with you in consultation and then having you, yeah, be a mentor in my process of starting this and to have your blessing is also, I'm so grateful for. Does that sound weird? Thank you for your blessing. And
no, because, you know, because I have parts up, you know, because I have a podcast and I get that. And I think that that's what makes me feel like again, this sounds weird. Not that you asked for my blessing, but because you didn't ask for my blessing, but let me just use that language that feels really uncomfortable, that you asked for my blessing and I totally gave it to you. That feels so good for me. And it feels like I will promote anything you do. I love what you're doing. And that feels like a partnership and working together versus like someone, because this has happened where it's like other people have IFS podcasts and I don't even know who they are. And I'm like, there's a part of me that's like, that doesn't make any sense in my world. Like, why wouldn't you reach, not that anyone needs my blessing, but why wouldn't you reach out and be like, hey, because there has been a few people through the years that have reached out and they only do one or two, like you probably know this, a lot of people do podcasts. They only do one or two or three and then they don't do them anymore. Like this, most of the people in the podcast world, that's what it is. Because it's a lot of work. Yeah. Anyways, that's a lot to say that I totally get what you're saying. And yeah.
Well, and I'm an Enneagram 9. And so with that, I'm very much like, I want to make sure I'm not on anyone's bad side. I love feeling like we're in a peaceful togetherness and harmony and collaboration. So
yes.
Yeah. I look back and I'm like, that would never even cross my mind of I'm going to do this podcast and just not talk to you and you being, because you were an important piece in my IFS journey with your podcast. So I guess that's would that be my 9?
Totally. Right. 9 is like going to avoid conflict at all costs and peacekeeper and mediator. Mm-hmm. And so a 9 to even be able to do a podcast, to just sort of have, not that you need clarity, but to sort of a 9 can go to their 3. A 9 can go to their 3 because they have aligned a 3. So a 9 can go to their 3 and kind of take some of that energy and do the doing of a 3, the busyness of a 3 can kind of borrow that from the 3. Mm-hmm. And I can do 9. So I am a 3 and I'll go to 9 and I do a lot of 9 in my relationship, which means I don't say anything. I don't say when I'm upset. I avoid conflict also at all costs, unless it is around doing. So I avoid conflict at all costs unless there's like, I want to do a podcast. So when I started the podcast, there was some conflict around it, and I wasn't avoiding that because my doing parts in my three was like, nope, we're doing this thing. We have this vision. Even if it caused conflict, it didn't matter.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
It is, it's fascinating.
It is. There's so much more that I want to learn about the Enneagram, and I know that that's something that you and Joan have been doing a lot of work on. And I think you'll have you all started your next Enneagram
Yeah,
workshop?
so yeah, so what I would say about that is Joan Ryan and I have we wrote a chapter in the Altogether Us book about the Enneagram. We've presented at the conference a couple of times on Enneagram. And so we have an intro class going. But what we're going to do now, what we're starting to do is we're actually going to do an online course. That way it's there for everyone, make it a little bit more price wise, make it a little bit more accessible for people. And it's going to be an exploring the Enneagram through the lens of IFS, sort of short, maybe three or four videos. It's going to be videos and PowerPoint. And that way it's going to be up in the world all the time. So you're not having to sort of wait for us to do
Okay.
these live classes. So I think the vision is to have this course running, like this IFS and Enneagram course. And then we will do more process groups where people can talk about the parts that they're finding within the type, because that's what we think. We think that, like, so your nine is a type and that you have parts within the type, right? So I'm a three. And if I look at all the descriptors of what a three is, those descriptors are parts. And so the parts, we use this language, the parts that we find within our type. And so I think we're going to do this online course. And then I'd love to do live kind of process classes where we speak for our parts and kind of get to know our parts that we find within our type. Yeah, so that's kind of that's what we're thinking. So I think we're changing gears a little bit. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that sounds really great. I like that model. And so, is that something that is available yet, or is that coming up in the
It's
future?
coming. Yeah, I'm hoping we're yeah, I'm hoping in the next few months, honestly. So
Okay.
maybe by the summer, because I don't work. I try not to do anything extra in the summer. So if it's not done by the summer, then it's not going to get done till the fall. But I'm hoping, I think we'll get it done. I think we'll get it done by the summer, in the next
Okay.
couple of months, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay, great. That's exciting. Yeah. And for people interested, and you can find this in the show notes, but your website is tammysullenberger.com. And I'm assuming people can sign up for your newsletter and
Exactly. Everything's there. All the podcasts, my newsletter is there. I don't send the newsletter out a lot, but yeah, everything's there. And the course will be there too.
okay, perfect. Yeah, that's exciting. And I asked you to come on this time around. The first time you came on, we talked about your book, The One Inside, 30 Days to Your Authentic Self. And this time I was feeling, and I've been feeling this lately, where I've been feeling called towards the spiritual aspects. And I was familiar with a little bit about your background, because I've heard you mention it, like little bits and pieces, like on your podcast. And then on your website, like on the About You, you talk about your background in terms of getting your marriage and family counseling from the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. So I reached out to you because I was curious to just talk about this aspect of yourself. And you brought up, you said, yes, absolutely. And then you also brought up what we're going to be talking about regarding centering prayer.
I think that contemplation is like centering prayer is a practice that helps with like a contemplative way of life.
Okay.
So there's like a Christian contemplation, and then there are these ways to be more contemplative, or like a practice. Like so I think you would say it this way, that centering prayer is a contemplative practice.
Okay.
I think that's how you would say that.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into that. And I'm
Let
really
me say,
again.
I can talk about IFS all day long, but centering prayer, I'm like, ooh, okay. I'm not sure how you would say that. Like, I think that's how you would say that.
Well, we'll figure this out together.
Oh, good.
And but yeah, I'm just really just curious about to know a little bit more about your background and
Yeah.
how you got, I guess, connected to, like, maybe it's religion for you, maybe it's spirituality.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit more about your background in regards to, would you say, Christian theology? Because
Yeah.
like I said, you did get your master's at the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. So I'm curious to know, yeah, what has been your background in regards to that?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think that you're right in kind of not knowing how to ask that or what to say because I don't put it out there, right? That's not something that I'm really vocal about. And because there are these amazing, like Allison Cook is a Christian IFS therapist. She puts herself out there as a Christian IFS therapist. She's written, she wrote Boundaries for the Soul. She's the most amazing human being. And so, you know, she's to me, the face of Christian IFS is Allison Cook and Kim Miller, who are just amazing people. And so so let me back up and say, the short story is that I was raised Catholic. And then I met my husband. We're now divorced, but I met my husband when I was 17. And his family were now, you would call them like born again Christians. I did not know what that was. I'd never heard of that before. And so I would just go to these things with him because I wanted to hang out with him. And I would go to these things and they talked about Christianity in a way that kind of made a little bit more sense to me, like that it's not just about like, so I was raised Catholic. I actually had a pretty good experience. I'm Irish Catholic. You know, I would go to church with all my aunts and my grandmother, and we'd all sit together. And, but it wasn't a spirituality, you know, it wasn't my spirituality. It was sort of my religion or my family tradition, which was fine. Like, I don't have religious trauma. Like, I was thinking about talking to you about this, and I'm like, so many people have religious trauma, but I don't. So I can tell the story, and I want to tell the story, but I also want to say I can say it kind of lightly because I had a good experience, I had a nice experience growing up Catholic. It didn't mean that anything to me, like spiritually wise or even religious wise. It was more of a family tradition more than anything else. It was that. And so then I met his family, and their religion was very different for them, right? It was this everyday, it was part of their spirituality. When I was, you know, 17 years old, what do I know about spirituality? I want to hang out with my friends and hang out with my boyfriend. So we ended up getting really involved in that church that his parents went to. And in part of that, getting involved in that church, ended up getting married really young. I was like 21, he was 22. And then at some point, he said, I think I want to be a pastor. I want to be a minister. And I was like, okay, that sounds fun. We're both from the same area. All of our family lives in that area. And I think we both were like, let's travel. Let's go do something fun. And so we moved. We moved to New Orleans to go to this Baptist school. And really cool stuff happened. Like I thought, because I was raised Catholic, that you went to a seminary that was all men, like there were going to be priests and there's all these men there, but there are women were going to school there too. In turn, and you come to find out, you know, women were going, there was this group of girls that I got to know, and they were getting their master's in counseling and they were going to be therapists. And I had taken, this is the longest friggin' story, but I had this background in television production, and I was working for this speech lab, just doing video production at this college. And part of getting a raise at this college was taking classes. So I took a psychology class. I absolutely loved it. I was like, what is this? I want to know more about this. So I was fascinated by psychology and wanted to know more. At the same time, we were traveling to go to these seminars to sort of figure out kind of where we're going to school. And so it came up that these girls were going to school to be therapists. And my ex was very, very supportive. And he was like, you could do that too. And I was like, really? That's amazing. So that's what happened. So we both worked and we both went to school and both got master's degrees. And the amazing cool thing is of course, I didn't know this at the time. We happened to pick a seminary that their master's degree It was the only master's. There's six Southern Baptist seminaries, and that master's degree was the only one that you could become a licensed therapist. So I never worked in a church setting. I never worked with a Christian family. I never did that. Like, I worked in seminary. You know, you did like practicum internships. I ended up working for almost 2 years at a hospital for trauma. So people would come from all over the world, or all over the country, I guess, and go to this hospital for trauma in New Orleans. And there was an eating disorder clinic or unit. I'm so off topic right now. But anyway, so I would work in this trauma center or trauma unit, and it was awful and horrible and actually very traumatic. But that's really where I was like, that's interesting. Like, people are fascinating to me, and that's fascinating.
Right.
So then when he became a pastor, we moved to New Hampshire, which is where we live now, for him to be a pastor. So we moved to New Hampshire for him to pastor his church. And I started working at a community mental health center for adults with persistent mental illness, because I loved that. That was what I wanted to do. That's, you know, so that was always, I never worked in a church setting. You know, a lot of people that I was going to school with were working at like Christian counseling centers. I never did that. I always worked in a different setting, which I actually really loved. And then, you know, him and I, you know, we probably had problems before we even got married, to be honest with you, but there were some really good moments and some really good things. And we had lots of fun adventures, but it just wasn't working out. And so he quit being a pastor. We decided to stay up here. He quit being a pastor. And then after that, you know, I just kind of, you know, would go to different churches in the area, but I really wasn't sure really what I believed, or I wasn't really sure. I really wasn't sure. And then I ended up landing at one church that I really went to because my friends went there, because churches all over the country are very different, right? The churches that I went to in Maryland were very different than the churches I went to in Louisiana, are very different than the churches up in New Hampshire. I mean, it's just very different. There's a culture around churches. You know, so anyways, I could go off about this, but I won't. So I just really wasn't sure. And at the same time, right, I'm a therapist. I love being a therapist. There's a different mentality about the way we think about people and help people than I was kind of getting in the church. And I'm much more, my personality is much more driven around being a therapist and the way I look at people and see people more like that. So, but I wasn't sure what to do, right? I wasn't sure. I didn't want to give that up. Like, I really, you know, I didn't want to give up my Christianity with whatever that was, which I wasn't really even sure what that was at that point. So then COVID happened. My husband and I were still together. COVID happened. And during that time, such a cool story. I actually found an Enneagram and Centering Prayer workshop. I didn't know what Centering Prayer was, but I knew the Enneagram. Which was a Richard Rohr is a priest, and he has this contemplative outreach. And I was getting their emails. And so I got an email, and I was like, okay, I'll take this course. And I took this course in Enneagram and Centering Prayer, and just fell in love with Centering Prayer. And now I'm part of this this organization called Closer Than Breath, which is a Centering Prayer online community. And they have Centering Prayer groups all during the week. They do monthly workshops. They do, I think, once or twice a year, a contemplative summit where they bring in, it's like an all weekend thing. They bring in all these speakers. And so, yeah, so that's a very long story to say kind of where I am now. So now all I can say, when people say like, are you a Christian? I'm like, I don't really know how to answer that question, but I can just say that I practice Centering Prayer. And I've been going to a Quaker meeting on Sundays because I want to do something. That to me. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't look or sound or act like a Quaker in any way, but there's something, especially for an Enneagram 3 and my hyper busy parts, that silence and that contemplation, there's something like my soul or myself yearns for that.
Okay.
And that's what I'm getting, is that silence and that contemplation is what, that stillness.
Yeah.
Is what I'm finding in the Quaker meeting and in the Centering Prayer.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for sharing all of that background, because that was something that I was really curious about. And I'm curious to ask you this too. When you went to school to get your master's, it was at the seminary. Was it Christian focused, like in your therapy training, or was it more general?
Yeah, not really. I mean, it was a Christian seminary, but the professor, I had amazing professors, and it really was not, there was maybe one or two professors that were like, were more Christian focused, but most of the professors were not. I mean, it was, it's kind of like somebody said this and I thought this was true. It's sort of like, you know, you're a plumber. I know this is different, but sort of like a, like I'm a plumber. I'm a Christian, and I plumbing is my job. It kind of was like that, right? Like I'm a Christian, and counseling is my job. That's what it felt like. Like it, I never learned how to like counsel someone with like the Bible, or like bring someone in and we pray together. Like that's not the type of like Christian. Like I didn't learn how to be a Christian counselor. Like I actually don't know how to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's a thing though, right? Like sort of
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that I didn't learn how to do that. Like I definitely learned, like I learned like systems thinking, and like family systems therapy. We're big on family systems therapy and CBT. Like that was what we learned.
Okay.
That's what we learned. Like I never learned that other sort of track of like Christian counseling. I never learned that.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
My quotes hands for.
And I like your example of the plumber, that is, you can be a Christian and a plumber, but being a plumber is your job. And it doesn't mean that you're therefore like utilizing Christian verbiage or ways of being as you're doing your plumbing. And that's okay if some people do, but that's not specifically the training and the program that you were in.
Right.
And then fast forward, you mentioned the Quaker meetings. I'm not familiar with what those look like and sound like. And so for you to say it's a lot of silence and stillness, can you explain kind of like what that looks like?
Yeah. So yeah, that's exactly what it is. You walk in, and so basically what the Quakers were say is they start worship. They worship through silence. Like silence is the worship. And so you walk into the building and you sit down. And so what I do is I walk in, I sit down, I close my eyes, and I start doing centering prayer, which we'll talk about what that is. And then in Quakerism, Quaker theology, I guess I could say it that way, the way it works is if someone feels moved by the spirit, or they feel like God is, they probably wouldn't say God, or maybe the divine or something is sort of telling them, or sort of there's a leading of the spirit. I think they would say it that way. If there's a leading of the spirit to speak or to share, then someone will say something, or they'll share something. Or sometimes someone will sing a song. Yesterday I went and no one said anything. Like it was quiet the whole time. And I have found them to be, I've had the most, like you were in an IFS, like I was hanging out with my IFS friends and we were having like a spiritual conversation. That's the kind of conversations I'm having with the people in the Quaker meeting and with the people in Closer Than Left community. I feel like we're all saying and speaking the same language.
That's really neat. And so it can be, like you said, just an opportunity of just complete silence the whole time. And I'm assuming, would you say, like, for you in those moments where you're in silence, how would you describe, I guess, what you are experiencing?
Yeah. So what I would say is what I'm experiencing is I'm noticing my parts talking to me first, right? Right. They're telling me what we're going to do later. Like they're chatting away, chatting, telling me, you know, all this. And usually it's just sort of like, what are we going to do later? And da, 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 da. And then it's just sort of my mind, just because I'm quiet, so that I just hear all these parts talking to me. And so then I just smile and I say, hi, I'm here, I'm listening, right? I'm just being really present. And then I sort of let them talk, see if they need anything from me. Okay. And then I start centering prayer. So centering prayer is, so I'm doing a terrible job probably being Quaker, working with my parts and doing centering prayer, because I'm mixing all of them. So I don't think I'm doing any of them well, but I'm sort of doing this mixture. So this is what I do. I'm making it up. So let's just say that.
Yeah.
So I'm checking. So I'm silent. I'm checking with my parts. And then I start centering prayer. So centering prayer is this idea that we, or the practice of it is you pick a word. I pick a word. So every year I change my word for the year, and every year I change my centering prayer word for the year. So this word, this year, my centering prayer word is allow. Last year it was open. So basically my parts are chatty, 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 chatty. I listen to them for a little bit, and then I introduce my word. So the idea of the word is it is not to meditate on, even though meditating on the word open sounds lovely, or allow sounds, you know, that sounds lovely. It's not for that. It's actually as a windshield wiper to wipe away all my thoughts.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So how does that work?
Yeah. So let me tell you how it works. And then we're going to do like 2 minutes of it, or maybe 1 minute. Maybe we'll just do 1 minute. So basically how it works is you sort of notice all your thoughts, and then I just say allow, and then there's just quiet. And the idea is that I'm opening myself up to the divine. I'm consenting. So I use the word divine now. I'm consenting to the divine to sort of do what needs to happen, or sort of the idea of kind of, it's letting go of thoughts, letting go of agenda, letting go of my own way, my own purposes. So it's very much like IFS, where it's a letting go, right? We let go of parts, and self is here. Same yes. idea. I'm letting go of thoughts. I'm letting go of feelings. I'm even in true centering prayer, I'm letting go of even amazing insights I might get in that silent time. I'm letting go of all of that. I'm letting go, and I'm just being. And I'm being in the stillness, and I'm being in the quiet, right? It's myself is here, and I'm just sitting in the quiet with my true self, with the divine, in this open, quiet way. And then here comes a part that tells me a great, amazing idea. And then I use my word, not in a spiritual bypassing way, but in a, like, I am just here right now. And even though you have a brilliant idea part, and I love you and thank you for showing up, that's not the time for this. And so I allow use my word to windshield wiper that away, and come back to that stillness, come back to that place of being, come back to that silence.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And what was coming to my mind as you were describing that is the constraint release model.
Yeah, exactly.
That term that is used to describe IFS, where it's you acknowledge maybe the parts in the room, the things that are maybe creating some restraints to feeling that spaciousness. So would you agree that it's kind of like having that word, whatever your word is, yours being allow, when you say that word within, it's kind of inviting that release.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And with practice, my parts know that, like, it almost, that word, I mean, I can say that word, my centering prayer word during the day when I'm with clients just inside, and it's almost a cue for self energy. It's like, I say that word, my body relaxes, I feel more open, I feel like I am here, I am more present by just using that word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's sort of like the mix. Like, that's not the, like, so we do a 20 minute sit, which is where the 20 minutes of me, just no matter what brilliant ideas I have, I'm just using that word to just wipe that way, to let that go. It's a practice of letting go and letting go and letting go. And I do, you know, ideally a sit every day. You're supposed to do it twice a day, actually, but my parts don't let me do that. So, but it's really about, it's showing up. It's like showing up and sitting, and then the stopping doing, which is a three, is an Enneagram three, is very hard.
Right.
So it's like, I show up, I sit, and I stop the doing. I rest in being, and I use my word to windshield wiper, just kind of float down. Even the idea that, kind of imagine being kind of the bottom of the sea, just in this, surrounded by water, and that there's really cool things passing by, and really amazing fish, and just beautiful things in the sea, but they're just passing by, and I'm just going to sit right here in this quiet, centered, calm, open, self energy place, and let all that go.
So even if, let's say, as you're inviting spaciousness, because a lot of times when we invite spaciousness, we're connecting with self energy. And then it can also open it up though to receive maybe messages from guides, spiritual beings. And so is that too something that.
Yes. Okay. So I'm really glad you asked that. So in centering prayer, in true centering prayer, that would also be something you just let go.
That's interesting.
It is. But because apparently I don't follow the rules, when I'm sitting in that Quaker, especially in that, because the Quaker meeting house that I go to has been there since, like, it has this really long history, like 1600s. I mean, it has a really long history. Wow. And so when I'm sitting in that building, I almost always get a download from a spirit guide. It is very clear. It's always usually very short sentences. And then when I try to rephrase it, it'll be like, nope, I said this. Like it's amazing. And so I have gotten downloads. I mean, I've gotten downloads even being in my office. I remember one of the first times I did centering prayer, I was in my office doing an online group. And I got this download, love surrounds you. And I remember I wrote it on a post-it note. And that was like, until I moved out of my office, that was a post-it note right next to my computer. Love surrounds you. And so I do. And so I do get those messages, and I do think they're from my spirit guides. So for me, this is really personal, but for me, there's divine heavenly father, which feels like it feels like honoring my spiritual tradition in a sort of how I was raised and in sort of what I know. So it's divine heavenly father. And he has his own attributes and the way he talks to me and the way he treats me. And then there's divine, the part, my little Baptist girl parts cringe at this. And then I allow her to cringe at this, but there is this divine earth mother. And she has a very different way that she treats me and talks to me. And the messages are often from her and very specific and very clear. And she gets really annoyed when I add to them or when I say, okay, this means this. She's like, nope, I said this. So there's this little Baptist part of me that's like, that is crazy. But I'm like, that's my experience. And it's been my experience, I mean, for almost 4 years now, and it hasn't changed.
That's right. So it sounds like going into the contemplation prayer with your word, knowing it's a invitation to invite spaciousness, to allow parts to give space, step back, and just kind of be, like you said, connected with your self energy. If downloads are coming in, you bring awareness to them, and then you also invite that word to help bring again that spaciousness.
Exactly. And then I go to my car and I write it down what they said on my notes on my phone.
Right. Yeah, because a part of me is like, I hope you're writing these down.
Well, then I have a part that comes in that's scared that I'm going to forget. Right. So when that happens, and this is where, again, I'm sort of making this up as I go along so I can get it. So this happened to me yesterday, right? I get a download. I hear it. I get the clarity. Okay, this is what you're telling me. And then I use my word again to sort of windshield wipe, to let go of that even. And then I have a part that's really afraid I'm going to forget. And so then I might need to turn towards that part and say, okay, it was this. We heard it this way. What do you need from me? Okay, you're okay. And we go back to our allow. And then that might take, 5 seconds. So I do turn towards those parts because they need something. But usually it's pretty quick. And then I can go back to the word and just, the windshield wiper.
Yeah. It reminds me of, so I was trained as a Vipassana meditation instructor years ago. And so mindfulness-based meditation. But this was before I knew about IFS. And so that's where pieces of that, the way I used to do this was, I wasn't acknowledging the parts as parts. I was just viewing them as leaves on a stream. They're just thoughts. Don't identify with them, which, makes sense. We want spaciousness there, but it wasn't looking at, oh, this is a part of me that's trying to provide me this message or story or emotion, whatever it might be, sensation.
Right.
And so it was meditating, inviting a stillness, noticing, oh, here comes this, here comes that. Nope. Kind of just inviting them to just push away. And I like this combination of looking at them as parts while still inviting an opportunity to ask for space. using that word.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. And it's almost like my parts then can enjoy sort of the juicy silence, right? Like it's like they're all swimming in the pool. They're all floating. Like they're all, it's got this image of sort of like everybody is getting a chance to just float on their back and relax. And that's what it feels like, right? And so
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, because that's like instead of pushing them back down the stream and they're completely away from your consciousness, I like this image, this feeling of inviting them to give space and they can just be present in the vicinity, but they can be enjoying that relaxation, the floating, whatever they're wanting to do, resting. I like that. I like that a lot. That's really beautiful. And do you feel like, and the other thing I wanted to bring up was what you mentioned a little bit ago too, is you feel like then engaging in this more formal practice, you can then during the day use that word and it's kind of like a classical conditioning almost.
Right.
But it's almost like you're
every time I say the word, relax.
But I almost view it as you're kind of, and this is with meditation in general, but you're like strengthening that prefrontal cortex part of your brain.
Yes.
Of acknowledging, being aware, inviting space.
Yes.
Not getting blended and caught up and maybe activating like that limbic system part of the brain.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. And I'm going to give a plug right now to my friend Carolyn Oakes, who wrote this book called Practice the Pause. And it is about brain science and centering prayer in contemplative practices in general. And so it was my favorite book that I read last year. So I would give a plug for that for anyone. And it could be, you know, it could be meditation. It doesn't have to be centering prayer. It doesn't have to be a contemplative practice like that. But just the benefits of that. And think about the benefits of us going inside and working with our parts. So I think it's the same thing, right? Going inside and working with our parts, we know has all kinds of benefits, but thinking of the brain science benefits, I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. Makes total sense. And again, yeah, you're strengthening that muscle in your brain to be able to bring connection to self energy.
Yeah.
To then notice our parts.
Yeah. So the two things I think that really stand out to me about it is one is this letting go, right? Letting go of thoughts, letting go of feelings, letting go. And then the other thing is waking up. And I love this because it's really waking up to the reality of our true self. And I think that, so they'll say in centering prayer, it's waking up to the reality of the oneness we have with the divine. Or I heard this from Keith, who's the leader of Closer Than Breath. He talked about that centering prayer waters the roots of our inner being so that we might know our true self. And so there's a lot of language like that, that it really is about waking up. Like centering prayer helps us wake up to who we really are, like to that divine in us, the image of God in us. If that language doesn't fit right and you're an IFS person, that waking up to that true self, waking up to our authentic self, that's who we are, the essence of who we are, that centering prayer is one practice that helps us wake up, right? We let go of thoughts, let go of feelings, and we wake up to who we really are. And I'm like, that's, you're speaking like IFS and centering prayer, you're speaking the same language to me.
Absolutely. I love that. And would you care to, I guess, lead us through?
Yeah. So the only thing I would say is I would just encourage everyone, if you can, unless you're driving, just to shut your eyes. We're just going to do we're just going to do 1 minute and we're going to be silent. And I want you to use the word love. And anytime, I'm not starting the 1 minute, I'm just sort of introducing this. Anytime you have a thought, a feeling, a bodily sensation, I want you to use the word love. And imagine that as a windshield wiper that wipes away any thoughts or feelings. And we're just going to be silent for 1 minute. I'm going to begin talking, but keep your eyes shut. Just notice what's happening in your body. Notice what feels different. Notice if anything feels different. And maybe you can even check and see if there's any parts here that want some attention from you. If anything really jumped out to you, resonated, or just what that experience was like. And if you want to, I would just stay inside just for another minute or two, just noticing what's coming up. A lot of people have their own religious story. You're full of hurt and pain. You're full of joy and connection. So just be curious about what's coming up for you. And then if you want to, just open your eyes, take your time, come back to your room, wherever you are, to your presence.
Thank you. Yeah, that was interesting. What I noticed in myself as I was doing that was I would notice either like an image coming in my mind's eye or parts coming forward with thoughts, words, body sensation. And I would acknowledge it. And then I would say, love. And it was interesting because I'm even doing this. People can't see it, but I'm doing like a windshield wiper, like you did earlier with your hands. And that was almost kind of like what I saw and what I felt. I keep doing that with my hand. I would say love. And that was kind of that image and sensation of it almost just kind of gently replacing or gently inviting that spaciousness from whatever it was that was coming forward.
Yeah,
And then it was
beautiful.
interesting. So it was like there was that movement, but then there was a point where it transitioned into, and I think this is adorable. It was like fairy dust. Like I would say love, and it would be like sprinkling love fairy dust, like on the parts that were present with the thoughts or the images. And it was just kind of like this gentle, like fairy dust of love. And then there would be a
Beautiful.
softening. So thank you for guiding us in that.
Thank you. That's beautiful. So imagine doing that for 20 minutes. A lot of people might be like, there's no way I can be quiet for 20 minutes. But imagine. So start with one or two or five. And it doesn't have to be, related to Christianity. It doesn't have to be related to religion. Like you said, it could be, we know this, that it could be mindful. The Quaker meeting is full of all kinds of people from all kinds of realms. And I think a close to the breath community is the same way. It's people that are coming, they're wanting to experience that true self. And this is one of the ways. Yes, connecting to the divine and whatever that means to you, and connecting more to yourself and more to the earth, or just more connection in general, not just to yourself, but maybe to something outside or above or beyond. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's, so imagine that fairy dust, that sprinkle happening over and over and over for 20 minutes, and then going and doing your day.
Yeah, it's very powerful. Thank you. I'm excited to know about this, and I'm excited to invite this as part of my practices of connecting with my self energy. So, yeah, thank you for talking about this today.
Thank you for giving me opportunity. And I want to say, if someone's a Quaker or they do centering prayer, they're going to be like, that's not exactly right. And I want to just own that I've made it my own because it makes
Sure.
sense to me. I've made this blend of Quaker centering prayer and IFS.
That's right. Yeah. And it's working for you.
Yeah.
And it resonates with you. Well, Tammy, before we end, anything else you want to share with the listeners about offerings you are providing?
Oh, the only thing I want to share is that we were talking about this, about putting videos of our podcasts on YouTube and on Instagram. And so that's something that I'm doing a little bit more of, which I think is really fun. And so the One Inside has a YouTube channel, and there's going to be more clips, more video clips of the podcasts, and I think that'll be really fun. And yeah, I think I did a book talk. Natalie, you'll know this. When you finish writing your book, you'll go do these book talks. And so I went and did an online book talk, and they asked me what's next and what are you writing? And I was like, I'm not writing anything because I'm so busy doing all this other stuff. And I took a second, and I just was quiet for a second, and I thought, if I was going to write, this is what I would write about. I would write about centering prayer and the IFS and the Enneagram, like the three of these things that I think are life-changing. And you know what? All three of them do the same thing. They all remind us, they all wake us up to who we are, that we can live from the spacious, grounded, calm presence. All three, that's I think the goal of all three. And that's why I love all three. They use a different language and a different way of getting there. And I'm oversimplifying this very much, but I would like to write about all three of those. So write a one book about all three.
I love
That's
that.
what I would like to do.
Yep. Well, you just put it out there into the universe, so you can do it. I'm so grateful that I could have you on again. And in terms of people getting in contact with you,
Yeah, you can shoot me an email, tammysmallenberger@comcast.net. I still see individual clients. So if you're anywhere in the, if you're in New Hampshire and you want to be seen, you can, I live in New Hampshire and I have a license in New Hampshire. But if you're a therapist or you're a mental health provider, or you're new to IFS, you're done level one training, or you waiting to get into a level one and you want consultation, I'm a certified IFS consultant. And so I'm happy to meet with you. And I've got a couple spaces open. I've got some people that have moved along. So I've got a couple spaces open. If people want to meet, just shoot me an email.
perfect. And I'll put all that information in the show notes so
Thank you.
people
Thank
have
you.
that easy peasy. All right. Well, thank you so much, Tammy.
Thank you, Natalie, again for having me.
Thank you all so much for joining me today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast, give it a rating, and leave a review. You can also follow me on Instagram at Natalie Deering and sign up for my newsletter on my website, ndwellnessservices.com, to receive updates about podcast episodes, workshops, and more.